Good morning. It is an awesome morning to be here. It's good to see each one of you. It's a beautiful morning. This morning, I want to continue to celebrate the Lenten season. And my sermon is titled, Walking in His Word. We're going to talk about how important it is to keep God's Word inside of us. I'm not going to read the scripture yet, but I want to tell you the first line is how can young people keep their way pure? That's the first line of this scripture I'm going to read. And a few years ago, I've shared this story before, but it fits really well with this sermon this morning, with this scripture. But a few years ago at a middle school summer day camp, we looked and looked for a mission project that a bunch of middle schoolers could go and do that was really close because we didn't have a lot of transportation. And again, we were middle schoolers for the most part, so we needed to really be picky about what we could actually do. We didn't want to get over our heads. And we met this lady who was 94 years old. We visited with her in her home, and she needed some work done. She needed some yard work done. Matter of fact, she had brush grown up everywhere. Some trees had grown into her house, and she needed some work done. And to be honest with you, it's probably more work than what we needed to handle. But as we talked to this lady, she handed me her Bible, and she started talking. And her Bible was like her life story. She had so many notes, so many things circled, underlined, and she started telling me about her life. By the time we left, this lady I actually knew as I was growing up. I lost touch. She was 92, 93 years old at the time. When I left, I had tears in my eyes. And I looked and said, you know what, I didn't tell her, but I'm like, I'm not sure we can do this job. I'm not sure that we can do it this big. But I said, I'll tell you what, we're going to put this camp in the hands of the Lord. I know somebody can do this job. I know somebody can walk with us and do this job. Again, I went there to find a mission project. And I fell in love with a lady who had fallen in love with the Lord a long time ago. And she taught me something that day. And then when the camp started, man, these kids worked. They worked. We taught them how to use weed eaters and chains. We taught them how to use all kinds of stuff. And then after a couple of hours, they needed a break, and they sat down on Dink McMillan's front porch. The first group was a group of girls, and they worked their tails off. She brought them water out, and we're sitting there resting, and Dink comes out. She sits in a chair and starts telling these young ladies how to live and how to remain pure. The next day, we took a group of guys over there, and they almost got as much work as the girls did. Not quite as much, but close. She did the same thing while the guys were resting. She set them down and told them how to live. And she did this for 2 solid weeks. And my thought as I left that last day of camp was, you know, we went to Dink McMillan to find a job to do. But what God had in store for us was Dink McMillan was the best minister of that camp. She taught more than anybody those 2 weeks because she had lived it. And she could relate it to kids that were over 80 years younger than her. And it was a thing of beauty. The next year, again, this is a middle school youth camp, we got another young lady who was 93 or 4, and she would come by and just sit and watch the things we were doing at church. And she would eat lunch with us. And the first day she was there, it got kind of loud. You got a room full of middle schoolers, it gets a little bit loud. They're celebrating, they're having fun. And we tried to to quieten them down. Lady looks at me and she said, Miss Orr was her name. She said, don't do that. Don't quieten them down. It sounds like life. When I hear that, I hear life. So sometimes we think we know what we're going to do. We get, and then God has a different plan. God uses people of all ages for many things. And He teaches us, no matter how old we are, how we can remain pure. And how we can keep God in our hearts. I'm going to read this morning from Psalm 119. I'm going to read verses 9 through 16. It reads, how can young people keep their way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Do not let me stray from your commandments. I treasure your word in my heart so that I may not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all ordinances of your mouth. I delight in the way of your decrees as much as all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. And this is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Lord, thank you for this time that we have together, Lord, to worship you. Lord, I pray this morning as we study this scripture, Lord, your words flow through me. Lord, people here, people listening online, Lord, they receive your message. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, this morning, we gather here to dive into the riches of God. When you look at God's Word, we can see that as being the riches of God. How God blesses us is through His Word. We're meditating. We're going to meditate and concentrate and be grounded in Scripture this morning and hopefully every day of our life. And this passage is going to serve as a guide for us as we're on this journey that we call life, our journey of faith. Psalm 119, 9 through 16. How can young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. I seek you with my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you. Lord, teach me your decrees. With my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. Wow. Verse 9 talks about how we should stay on the path of purity, how we should stay on the path of being more like Jesus every day, how we stay on the path. The psalmist begins by asking a profound question, how can we remain pure? As good Wesleyans, we realize that understanding holiness is a journey. We don't wake up one day and be sanctified. We're saved by God's grace, that instantaneous grace that assures us of a relationship with Him. But being more like Christ takes some time. It takes some effort. John Wesley spoke of the journey of sanctification as a process by which we are continually transformed into the likeness of Christ. A few months ago, I related to our journey to ships, being on different ships, and we work those ships every day. You see, verse 10 tells us we seek God with our whole heart. Our whole heart. That means our whole being. In the Latin, it's cor totum, which means the everything of us, everything about us. Jesus speaks in Matthew about loving God with our heart, soul, and mind. This is the same meaning here. It means with all of our being, we seek God's word and we seek to live more like Jesus every day. Again, Jesus echoes this teaching in Matthew 22:37, where He calls us to love the Lord with all of our heart, mind, and soul. Our commitment to God's commands is a sign of our love and devotion. Verse 11 tells us to hide God's word in our heart. And again, our heart means our whole being. It's not talking about the organ that's pumping blood. It means everything about us is where God's word needs to be hidden. We hide words in our heart. We hide words in our being. Who can quote scripture they learned over half their life ago or three quarters of their life ago? I still can. Some of the scripture that I know by heart was taught to me when I was at a very young age. It's important to know scripture. It's important when things get a little shaky that we can rely on that scripture. The scripture should be our foundation. It should be the core of our being. That's what heart means in this sense. It means I have hidden your word into all of my being. When things are rough, we should depend on God's word. That's who we are. Now, unfortunately, I have other words hidden in me also that have come from environmental things that shouldn't be hidden in me. But if I smash my thumb, it's normally not praise the Lord that comes out of my mouth. Okay? I normally when I hit my thumb with a hammer. But if the scripture is the core being of who we are, that's what we should be thinking about. I just hurt myself because I'm an idiot. But God, you are still God. Praise you. It's hard to do. It's hard to do. That's what I want to do. But sometimes I mess up. Sometimes I mess up. But you see, fortunately, we serve such a gracious God. When we mess up, we repent. We get on our knees, we repent. We turn away from our sin. We start walking back to Him. And guess what? We're made pure again. Not because of anything we can do, not because we can earn it, but because Jesus Christ died for our sins. He took our sins to the grave. He rose again, but He left our sins behind. And the only way we can be pure is through a relationship with Jesus Christ. I learned that just a few years ago from Dink McMillan. That's the way you make pure. Scripture and our Wesleyan tradition is so important. Matter of fact, John Wesley didn't call it the quadrilateral, but later on, it was named the quadrilateral or scripture primary. But we also learn through tradition, reason, and experience. The Bible is the foundation. God's Word is the foundation of what we believe. But to make it relevant today, we've got to be able to live out these words through our experiences, through our tradition. And we need to be able to reason right from wrong. And part of that reasoning comes, our foundation of that reasoning comes from the Bible. You see, the Bible is guiding us towards righteousness. If we're not using the Bible to guide us towards righteousness, we're not going to get there. The authority is only through His Word in a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the only way we can get there. Verses 12 through 16, we're supposed to praise, we're supposed to be taught, and we're supposed to rejoice. It's kind of sound like Sunday morning, don't it? If you think about it, we pray, we're taught, and we rejoice. That's what a church service should look like. A church service should look like that. You know me, I tell some stories. Sometimes I'm funny, sometimes I just think I'm funny. But the stories,
if they don't relate to the scripture and to your life, they're meaningless. Then it becomes about me. And I never want it to be about me. Some stories I tell over and over again. Sometimes because I forgot I told them. And sometimes because you need to hear it more than once. But again, the stories are a way to relate the scripture to your life, the way you should be living. Again, this scripture should be in our heart. It should be the core being to us. And if people see us, they should be able to see us living out His Word. They should see us rejoicing. They should see us continually learning. I just finished that class I've been taking. I have been rejoicing for the last 2 days. I promise you, I've been praising for the last 2 days because I've been busy lately. And that's one thing off my plate. Sometimes I think some of the learning I am required to do gets in the way of me being a pastor. But you know what's important? It's important. Learning every day is important. You see, the psalmist continues this by praising God and asking to be taught His decrees, recounting God's laws, rejoicing in following His statutes, and meditating on His precepts. Again, our worship, our education, our community life should all be about teaching people about Jesus Christ. Growing our faith and teaching. Growing our faith, learning and teaching. Learning and we're just a vessel of God's grace. Throughout our life, God offers us grace and we respond to that grace. And if we're responding to the grace that God gives us the way we should be loving each other. We should be telling each other about a risen Savior. And people shouldn't have to ask if we're Christians. You see, we're people of praise. We're eager to learn. We're committed to passing that faith on. We're committed to pass it on to these children right here. We're committed to pass it on to the children of our neighborhoods. That's what we're all called to do. Every one of us is called to show God's grace and His love. Some people are called to be behind the pulpit. Some people are called to teach in the Sunday school room. Some people may be called to teach to the person they're talking to at the gas station. But we're all called to spread the love of Jesus Christ. Again, I want to talk about how we apply this to our journey because that's the most important part. God's Word's perfect. I'm not. Jesus Christ is perfect. I'm not. It's the way I relate these teachings to my life that makes me who I am. You see, our theology is very important. It really is. What we believe is very important. But I want to make sure that it's not just in theory, that it's in practice. If we only hear God's Word, but we never respond to it. If we only hear God's grace and we never respond, that takes the practicality out. In theology, it is theoretical, but it's also practical. As we reflect on the Scripture, we've got to consider how we can apply these verses into our daily lives. As we intentionally seek God's will with all of our heart, with all of our being. This morning, I want to read the Scripture again. But I want to read it where we can apply it to our life. I want to ask you questions. That's what a good teacher does. If I answer all your questions, you've got nothing left to learn. And guess what? If I answer all your questions, you can only be as smart as this right here. I want you to set your goals a little bit higher than that. Amen? Okay? But if I could ask you questions, get you thinking about things, get you learning on your own, the possibilities are endless. And again, this is Psalm 119, 9 through 16. Will you guard yourself with God's Word? And I say you, I mean me too, so we. But it sounds better if I say you, okay? But I'm talking to me as well. Will you seek God with your whole heart? Do you treasure God's Word in your heart? Are you blessed? That should put a smile on your face. Are you blessed? We are blessed people. Do you want God to teach you? Do you want God to continue teaching you through His Word? Do you declare God's ordinances? Do you delight in His decrees more than riches? Do you meditate on His precepts and fix your eyes on His ways? Do you delight in His statutes and never forget His word? Those are the questions that we need to be pondering when we read that scripture. Again, it's a beautiful psalm, but it's made to be here, not just here. Okay, it's made, yeah, to penetrate our ears where we can hear it, but we're called to put it in our hearts and live it. Are we ready to do that this morning? Are we ready to do that this morning? As a church, are we ready to be driven by God's Word? As we prepare for Easter here in a couple weeks, are we ready to tell the world about a risen Savior? Are we ready to be transformed by God's grace and by His Word? Are we ready? Again, being a Christian is not a noun, it's not an adjective. It's a verb. It's what we do with our faith that truly matters. This week I want to challenge you to look at His Word and look for ways you can live this scripture out and show everybody that you meet God's grace, His love, and His compassion. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank You so much for all that You do in our lives. Lord, thank You for Your Word. Lord, I pray that each of us keep it in our heart, our whole being, Lord, and that everyone we come in contact with can see Your Word, Your words living out in us. Lord, I pray You continue to teach us as individuals, as a church, as a community. Lord, I pray that that we do put others' needs ahead of our own, just the way Jesus taught us. I pray that we strive every day to be more and more like You. In Jesus' name, amen.